Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
John has picked a reform-minded, hockey momming, basketball shooting, moose hunting, salmon fishing, pistol packing mother of five for vice president.
Cindy McCain introducing Sarah Palin the other day, and here is a post-convention poll result that is turning political heads. It's just one number, but people are talking about it. In yesterday's ABC News Washington Post poll, white women seem to have been massively flipped by these two conventions, from an 8-point lead for Obama going in to a 12-point lead for McCain coming out among that group. The poll tracking website, 538.com, suggests that the lion's share of that white women bounce came among white women with children who may heavily identify with Sarah Palin. Now, any convention bounce may not last. We don't talk much about polls on this show. This is a very striking number that is turning heads in the political world, so we are. And we should take these numbers only for what they're worth as a snapshot at this moment on this day. But they raise an important question that has dogged this whole campaign season going back into the primaries. How much is the election about comparing the candidates' ideas and solutions, and how much is it about identity groups or demographics, about seeking someone like yourself in these elections rather than the person who can help you deal with the economy or other issues in your life? We will get two views on this now from Thomas Frank. His book, What's the Matter with Kansas, was largely about middle American voters who he feels vote against their economic interests, lured by cultural concerns. That put him very much on the political map back in 2004. His more recent book is The Wrecking Crew, How Conservatives Rule. And Kay Heimowitz from the Manhattan Institute, the conservative think tank, she has a new piece in their City Journal magazine about Palin and women called Red State Feminism. So Kay and Tom, welcome back, both of you, to WNYC. Good morning.
Morning, Brian.
How are you doing today?
Kay Heimowitz, what is red state feminism as you define it?
Well, red state feminism is a kind of response to what blue state feminism, the mainstream feminism, which I think always had a problem at its core, and that problem was that it undervalued or dismissed the importance of motherhood and children and family. To most women, you know, about 75% of women refuse or hesitate to call themselves feminists, and I think there's been a good reason for that. In the last decades, it's not been so much about not wanting to have women in the workplace, not wanting more egalitarian marriages, but rather to, put more emphasis, put more focus on family life. And I think that that resistance to mainstream feminism is what we're seeing bubble up in response to Sarah Palin.
So would it make sense to you if indeed most of Palin's bounce came among white women with children?
Oh, absolutely. Now, remember that there's always been a big gender gap in the election process in this country, but it's the bigger gap is the marriage gap. Married women have generally voted Republican, even though single women have not. So that gender gap was always a little bit misunderstood, and that, again, is part of what we're seeing clarified, I think, in response to Sarah Palin.
Thomas Frank, have you looked at that ABC News Washington Post poll?
Yeah, I saw it in the newspaper today. It's you're right that it's remarkable, but I don't have any particular insight into what's going through people's minds. I mean, I can tell you my own interpretation of what Sarah Palin said and why it might be appealing to people.
Go ahead.
I watched her convention speech, and I was struck by how by the sort of the language of social class that she used, and they're quite open about this, that they say, Sarah Palin is going to help us bring in working class voters in Pennsylvania, Ohio, and these various the swing states that everybody's talking about, and her talk about coming from a small town from this sort of humble background, and then the flip side of that, of course, the people who look down on folks from small towns, and she talked about the lobbyists and the powers that be in Washington, and especially the elite. And this is a term that you've heard again and again in this election, and you know, you're pretty much always going to hear it, because that's what the culture wars are about. They're a proxy for class. They're a way for talking about social class without actually talking about economics.
Well, if this poll number is right, this white women going from giving Obama an 8-point advantage among themselves to McCain a 12-point advantage, what would it mean if they were actually supporting the one candidate before Palin came on the scene and now have switched to the Republicans? Does it mean their criteria for choosing a candidate suddenly changed, the very criteria? Does it mean identification with another mom or a socially consistent with their own lives mom as a kind of identity politics suddenly trumped maybe their perception that Obama has a better economic plan that more meets their family's needs?
Well, that, you know, that's what this is all about. This is all about appearances over essence. I mean, that's what so much of our elections are about. I mean, to call an Obama an elitist, as they so routinely do, is to, you know, distort reality pretty considerably. I mean, this is about appearances, and that kind of conclusion wouldn't surprise me at all if that turned out to be the case.
Kay Heimowitz, how much do you accept that possibility?
Well, I don't see this as about appearances. I think it's deeper than that. I think people's sense of who they are, of what they value in their lives, and how they want to live their lives goes much deeper than appearances. And a lot of the red state feminists that I'm writing about have felt dissed and condescended to by the blue staters, and I'm obviously speaking with a very broad brush here, and are responding enthusiastically, I think, out of that sense of, well, here's me. Here's somebody that speaks for me, who is like me. I don't have to feel defensive anymore about who I am. I should add that I probably will agree with Tom that that is a rather superficial way of going about making the decision for the highest offices in the land. But nevertheless, I think the urge underneath it is to be respected.
Can I add that what Kay said is very important? The feeling that you're being dissed by the culture. This is something that just runs throughout middle America. I mean, people are furious. People are angry. People are, and you know, to use the word that we're not supposed to use, people are very, very bitter out there. And in my opinion, as well they should be. I mean, you look at the economic statistics in the last 8 years, things are very bad. Being a working class person in America right now is pretty rotten. The economy grows and wages don't. You know, your home equity, you've lost all sorts of money, or I mean, a lot of people have lost all sorts of money on that. Prices of commodities are unusually high. You know, if you live in a small town out on the high plains, you're watching depopulation just, you know, you're watching everything just blow away in the wind. People are furious, and the Sarah Palin speaks to that anger, and with the sense of, you know, the sense of being dissed, the sense of being looked down upon. The thing is that she has no right to talk that way, in my opinion.
What do you mean, right?
She does talk that way. She does a really good job.
She has a right. You just don't think she's...
No, she hasn't earned it. I mean, the policies that these people want to put in place aren't going to solve any of those problems.
I want to get back to that in a minute, but I want to invite our listeners in on this. Some people are calling in already at 212-433-WNYC, but I wonder if there's anybody listening right now who actually fits in to that group that the Washington Post ABC News poll identified. Are you a woman, a white woman, as this group was, who was supporting Obama before the pick of Palin, but now is supporting McCain? Anybody who has actually gone from one camp to the other, because there are about 20% of you nationwide who apparently flipped in a 20-point swing in these 2 weeks. We're going to save a couple of lines. A lot of people are calling in just to talk about the issue. But if you are in that group, we really want to hear from you. I don't know if in the New York area there are many people in that group, but if you are and you happen to be listening, we would love to hear from you. If you have flipped, if you're a white woman and you have flipped from Obama to McCain in the last 2 weeks, 212-433-WNYC, and we'll put you right on the air, 212-433-9692, or post a comment, anyone, to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. For Kay Heimowitz from the Manhattan Institute, she has a new piece in their City Journal magazine about Palin and women called Red State Feminism. And Thomas Frank, author of What's the Matter with Kansas, back after the Kerry Bush election, and more recently of The Wrecking Crew, How Conservatives Rule. I think, Thomas, in your previous answer, you almost got to the very heart of what a swing voter, especially a so-called Reagan Democrat swing voter, is. Somebody who thinks that the Republicans are making their lives harder with their economic policies, but who doesn't trust the cultural stance of the Democrats. Is that getting at something?
Yeah, but I would add to that. It's not that they don't that they think that the Republicans have made their lives harder. I mean, they look at someone like, you know, Bush, and they see, you know, the current president, and they see, you know, you've got a disaster in the federal government. But they don't see an answer coming from the Democrats. That's the important, you know, flip side of the question here, is that the Democrats really are not speaking to the alienation and the feeling of being dissed, and the you know, that's out there. I mean, it's manifestly out there, and Democrats don't speak to it.
Can I just add something here, though?
Of course.
I think that there's a reason that they feel dissed, and that they're not hearing from the Democrats what they want to hear, and that it's not just an economic question, because a lot of what they do hear from Democrats, and I think the response from Democrats, not Obama himself, by the way, but the response in general from Democrats after the Palin nomination kind of reinforced their sense of that there is just a great deal of condescension towards them that has nothing to do with economics. And a lot of what you're hearing, you know, the response I got to my article in City Journal, I think, confirms this, you know, that what people are saying is, yes, you know, that they just don't understand us, don't get us. So I'm not sure that the economics is going to give us the whole picture here by any means.
But that's also an important point, that the Democrats routinely misplay situations like this, you know, and then they roll out their Hollywood buddies and this kind of thing. I mean, they really don't get it a lot of the time. They don't understand the problem.
Nicole in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello, Nicole.
Hi. I was just calling not because I'm one of those switch voters, but because my mother is, and I have two sisters, and she's been just sending us emails and, you know, really lobbying for us to switch over and vote for Palin.
What does she say about why she flipped if she was originally supporting Obama?
You know, she doesn't really ever talk about any of the issues, because I don't think that Palin really represents the way she feels about most issues. But she's very convinced that if McCain gets elected, since he's so old, if something happens to him down the road, we'd have a woman president. And she can't get past that idea.
Thomas, you're laughing.
I mean, that's a terrible. I mean, to vote based on you think the guy you're going to vote for is going to die. That's horrible. But hey, can I just add to that? I was speaking to a bunch of Kansas farmers the other day who happened to be here in D.C. For some reason or another, and they were telling me these guys all they're members of the Farmers Union, and the Farmers Union has a rating scale for rating various office holders, and they really like Obama. They give Obama a 100% rating because he's right down the line on farm issues. And McCain, and this is one of the places where these candidates are completely at opposite ends, they give McCain a zero. I mean, there's not many people in Congress who get a zero. But still, these guys are telling me this. And then they start telling me about all their relatives who are really excited about Sarah Palin. So, you know, it's the same thing. I mean, I don't think they're like they think McCain is going to die or something. They just like what Palin is saying.
Yeah, you know, the other thing that's so interesting here is the irony of now having women saying, well, they're going to vote for Sarah Palin, or rather for the McCain-Palin ticket, because she's a woman, because she's actually the more common thing you hear is because she's a mom. How ironic. It's never made sense to me that you would vote for anybody because they're a woman, or the same way I wouldn't vote against somebody because they were a woman. Now that idea, which, you know, if I may say, came from feminism, is now being turned against a lot of mainstream feminists, and no wonder they're very angry.
Deanna in Cortona, you're on WNYC. Hi, Deanna.
Hi, how are you?
All right.
I think I fit into that demographic that you're talking about. I come from, you know, kind of a conservative history, but, you know, being very disillusioned with the last 8 years and, you know, really wanting something different and wanting somebody to come in and kind of shake up the place. You know, Obama has been very, very attractive to me, you know, with the beautiful speeches and the inspiring hope. You know, emotionally, I've been very attracted to that. But I think on the same page, when Sarah Palin came on the scene, seeing, you know, like you were talking about, the red state feminist, you know, like totally fitting in to, you know, wanting to do something and being empowered and being able, not just because she's a woman, but also being able to shake up the place and kind of showing that, you know, in her recent past, like having the fight in her.
Kay Heimowitz, you want to talk to Deanna?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point. Remember that the kind of Obama mania that we were seeing for a while that was beginning to die down a little bit, and the excitement that people were feeling about something, you know, somebody was just so new and felt so different. And by the time Obama was nominated, he started to sound more like a conventional Democrat, and to, you know, take positions that were, you know, that were a little more predictable. And I think that people began to lose that excitement that they once had about something new and fresh.
Deanna, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know, I loved the idea about change and needing the change and wanting the change. But then it kind of, you know, just like you said, well, what does that mean? And how does that translate into, you know, policy? And what are you actually going to do specifically? So,
Deanna, are you looking at this on a policy level? Are there policies that you're really looking for from one or the other?
Well, the biggest thing, you know, to me is, you know, our safety first and our economy second. Those are the two biggest issues. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily, you know, I feel like, you know, a lot of the feminists, you know, come raising the big red flag of, oh, they're going to overturn Roe versus Wade. And that's, you know, you got to be scared about that. I don't feel like that's not going to happen. There's too many, even as a, you know, being used to be very, very conservative, I don't think that even the base is going to turn out to support that. But
would it be accurate to say that you're basically pro-choice, but that's just not your voting trigger?
Right. No, it's definitely not. Yeah. It's you know.
Deanna, I'm going to leave it there and get some other voices on, but please call us again. Thank you very much. Tom Frank, go ahead.
Yeah, what I was going to say about that, I mean, Deanna raises a very interesting concern, you know, security and the economy. And the McCain people, I mean, to all appearances, are going to continue with the existing policies, I mean, and with the way conservatives have ruled in this city here in Washington for the last 30 years. And what a lot of that means is privatizing and outsourcing security operations. You look at what they've done in the reconstruction of Iraq, and this is, by the way, this is my new book, The Wrecking Crew, is about. These people haven't made us safer. They have brought about this sort of, I mean, catastrophe over there. And the way they've managed the economy, I mean, you know, you look at something like the Labor Department, which they've filled with these sort of, you know, union busting types and that sort of thing, or the Department of Agriculture, which they've filled with representatives of big ag. You know, these people are running the federal agencies in reverse.
Do you want to come back on that at all, Kay, or is this?
Well, I don't want to get into a debate about privatization at the moment, but what I would say is that I think that the security issue may come back and become more prominent. You know, there's bound to be something that happens internationally over the next 2 months, and I think that could change the dynamics of the campaign again.
Let me get one more call in here. Anne in Manhattan, one of those flippers. Hi, Anne.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not completely sure personally, but I know my mom has just switched, and I do feel betrayed that Barack did not pull Hillary Clinton, and I think that it was really an undermining of feminism, and Palin represents that real kind of person that is just a fighter, and I think they did something very clever in picking her, and I have to admit, I do find her to be an interesting, you know, a character that could get it done.
And so when the Democrats say to you what she would get done, is 90% the opposite of what Hillary Clinton stood for. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, well, that's why I'm trying to learn more about the real issue. I can't get a feel for what Barack is. That's the issue. Mm-hmm. I can't get a feel for what he is. I mean, based on that kind of point, yes, right. But I still feel betrayed. I mean, it's more of the anger towards the Democrats for not picking, mm-hmm. not working with Hillary,
right.
and really betraying the female vote and really these sort of backlash. Against women, I feel personally from him not working with her on that.
And if you're willing, we'd love to put you in our undecided voters group and follow up with you over time and see where you land.
Sure.
So maybe hang on for a second, and we'll take your contact information off the air. And thanks to all of you who called. We have to end this segment here. Obviously, this discussion is going to go on and have many chapters. But Kay Heimowitz from the Manhattan Institute, her new piece in their City Journal magazine about Palin and women called Red State Feminism. Thomas Frank, his latest book, The Wrecking Crew, How Republicans Rule. Thanks to both of you for coming on with us. We really appreciate it.
You got it, man.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Quick reminder, it's time for you to vote. Not for president, but for what topics to include in our 30 Issues in 30 Days presidential election series. Because the topics that many of you nominated over the last few weeks are now listed on our webpage with software that lets you rank them in order of importance. So rank your top three or rank them all. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show.